Finally going to start Isaiah. I did a little intro last week, and now this week we're going to move into Isaiah. Again, I remind you, you need to be reading this too. You need to be familiar with the scriptures that I'm going to be preaching through. So I encourage you, read these words yourself. Check them out. Now, I wanted to preach the full first chapter because it's all one prophecy. And it really is meant to be a whole. It's actually three poems that are put together in one prophecy. And in the Hebrew, it's readily recognizable as poetry. In the English, it doesn't quite come across as well. But not able to do it. There's just too much stuff. So we're just going to read the first 20 verses here and deal with that here this morning. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. And it reads, "The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah son of Amoz saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children up and brought them up, but they rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. O sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness. Only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you. Land is laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty has left some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the laws of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, you have asked this. Who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what is right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land, but if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd open our hearts and our minds to hear what your Holy Spirit says to us this morning. Lord, we ask that you would bring to our attention that which we each one individually need to hear, and that which we as a body need to focus on. Lord, might we hear You, and might we listen and just hold on to what You have to say. Might we hold on with dear life, Lord, for You are life. And now as I come to preach, Lord, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me. Might I preach out of the infilling and overflow of the Holy Spirit. And might Your people here be encouraged and blessed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, not all sweetness and light there, is it? Some pretty harsh things are said in some portions of this passage. But let's start off just with a little bit again about chapter 1 of Isaiah. Again, it's meant to be one. We didn't read the entirety of it, but it's all one. But as we look at it, and as we read it this morning, what we see is a father's heart crying out to his children. It's very clear that God thinks of the people of Israel and us as His children. Unfortunately, we're not very well-behaved children. And it breaks His heart. But yet God is righteous. God is the Holy One of Israel. And as I mentioned last week in the intro, 25 times Isaiah uses the phrase, the Holy One of Israel. This is part of how he defines God and lays out the holiness of God. And here we have it in verse 4, the Holy One of Israel. That which is holy cannot stand to be in the presence of that which is unholy. Holy and unholy don't mix. Oil and water does a much better job of mixing than holy and unholy. Fire and water mixes better than holy and unholy. They're not meant to be together yet. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, and they have rebelled. Rebellion. Sin. They're synonyms. Mean the same thing. To be in rebellion from God is to be in sin. It is sin not to do that which God has directed. Well, I'm not in rebellion. I'm just not doing what He said. Excuse me? That's the people of Israel. Unfortunately, that's often us. I've been that way as a child. You know, well, I'm not rebelling. I'm just not doing what You want me to do when You told me to do it the way You told me to do it. And in fact, no, okay. But I really don't want to but we are, we do. This is what Isaiah is laying out. He was given this prophecy, this word from God, to speak to the people of Israel, to speak to us. You see, Isaiah, again, is the most quoted book in the New Testament. It's quoted in reference more times than all the rest of the Old Testament. But here we have it. In verse 9, unless the Lord Almighty has left us survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. In Romans chapter 9, verse 29, we see that quote. That is quoted there. Now, what's going on in Romans chapter 29? Well, what does that have to do with Isaiah chapter 1? Well, let's take a quick look at Romans 9. I didn't tell Mike to go there, but he can probably find it. But as we just look through, what we see is he's talking about the children. He said, I speak in truth, I'm not lying. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, my conscience is firm in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and insistent anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, the promises. Theirs is the patriarch, and from them trace the whole human ancestry of Christ, who God over all forever praised. Amen. It is not through God's word has failed, for all who are descended from Israel are Israel. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, but because they are his descendants, are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise. Now, again, we're talking about the promise. He's talking about rebellious children. This is the problem, rebellious children. What's going on in Isaiah chapter 1? Rebellious children. And then they both refer to Sodom and Gomorrah. Talk about a slap in the face. Sodom and Gomorrah is the very definition of Gentile debauchery and sin in Jewish mind. You just say Sodom and Gomorrah and that's sin. We still have that mindset today. Sodom and Gomorrah. What comes to mind is not good stuff. God's judgment on these cities. Now remember, in Genesis, Abraham and Lot are together, and Lot goes down to the plains and lives in the city of Sodom, right next to Gomorrah. He's living right there in that community. And Abraham goes up in the mountains because they had grown too big to stay together. They had too many herds. And Lot's down there with the city, and says they've got a king over the city, and somebody else comes against them and takes them prisoner. And Abraham, through the leading and the strength of the Holy Spirit, gathers his people together and goes and rescues his nephew Lot and frees the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and gives them back their property. And says, I won't take. Now, yeah, give what's due to those who came with me, but you're not going to make me rich and be able to say that you made me rich. It's God that did this. I'm not going to take the benefit. That's the blessing. God blessed Sodom and Gomorrah. He showed them his power. What happened? Did they respond in a positive manner? No, their debauchery and their sin went deeper and deeper. Finally, it came to a spot where the outcry against them was so great that God sent angels to go and bring judgment upon the city. And the cities were destroyed. Wiped off. Gone. That level of sin, that level of judgment. This is what Isaiah is presenting to the people of Israel. He's saying, this is you folks. It's only through God's mercy and grace that you haven't been destroyed, or you're not going to be destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah have been destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah weren't saved because they were so good. In fact, Abraham had made this deal with God. He said, for 10 people, won't you save the cities? Yes, for 10 righteous people, he would say, you know, Abraham had gone through this whole bargaining process. He'd start out with 50 people, then 40 people, you know, got them down to 10. Okay, he says, okay, I'm pretty sure we can come up with 10 good people in the whole city. Guess what? Guess how many good people you can find in Israel? Yeah. Guess how many people you can find here? Yeah. None of us are righteous. That's the problem. See, they were standing on their own righteousness, and they're trying to do it themselves. And he said, you know, I keep bringing discipline against you, showing you the wrongness of what you're doing, and you just are willful. You know, they're compared to a donkey and an ox. Not real flattering comparisons. If I said, hey, a donkey's smarter than you are, would you be flattered? Probably not. You'd say, Pastor, you have no call to be talking to me like that. You would probably be very offended. You'd get mad. I bet there's not a single person here that wouldn't get mad if I called them a jackass. Instead of jackass, was smarter than they were. Uh-huh. Yeah. Always got to be one troublemaker in the crowd. Son. This is what Isaiah, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, is telling the people of Israel and telling us. It's your rebellion. God created you. He gave you directions. He told you what to do. And guess what? You not doing it. And if you're not doing it, you are in rebellion. Oh, but we're going to buy God off. You see, I know we're doing this stuff that I shouldn't do, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and bring an extra offering to the temple. I'll pay God off. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are these to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough. Burnt offering. See, he's not interested in the burnt offerings. The purpose of the burnt offerings is for us and our heart. You know, that's always what God has been interested in, is our heart relationship with him and our attitude towards him. It's not the doing the ritual. I shall now kill the goat and put it on the grill and burn it up. And we're going to pour some oil on it. They did that, yeah. But it wasn't the burning that was important. What was important was the attitude, recognizing that I'm bringing before God my sin, my sorrow at being a sinner. And I'm asking for his forgiveness. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. You know, if your heart's not in it, when you give to God, when you sacrifice to God, you know what? You know how much good it does you? Yeah, that's. I know I'm speaking in tough, high theological terms here, but I need to get more real. No, this is exactly where Isaiah is. He's in there telling the people, as real as he can get, don't. It makes no difference. You can look good all you want. You can do the right things, and you can do it more than anybody else. But as long as your heart isn't in it, it counts for nothing. As a matter of fact, it counts against you. Because God is getting sick and tired of us coming up and trying to buy us off. Which one of you parents would be happy if your child took the car, stole the car, wrecked the car, maybe had somebody else injured, and came home and said, well, how about if I, mow the lawn? Will that fix it? Tell you what, I'll do the dishes today. That'll make it all better. You're going, are you kidding me? People were injured, you ruined the car, and doing the dishes is going to fix it? Well, our sacrifices to pay for our sin is even a larger gap. It's more ridiculous. But that's what the people of Israel are doing. They're having new moon festivals. They're having, the weekly festivals. They're having stuff all the time. Now, sometimes they were actually worshiping God. Sometimes they were worshiping other gods. Some of them were doing the, let's cover all our bases plan of worship. Okay, yeah, I'm going to worship Jesus, but I'm going to go over here and I'm going to worship the Asherah pole over here on this hill too. And, then we're going to go over here and we're going to, do the sunrise thing with the palm leaves over here. And we're going to, I'm going to cover all my bases. Because they weren't putting their faith in God. They weren't putting their faith in anything. They're putting their faith in their works. If I buy off enough gods, maybe one of them is going to be the right one and they'll get me through. Wrong attitude. Or just going to God and saying, well, you know what? God, here's a penny. How's that work for you? Does that, pay for, your house I burnt down? And your farm I trashed and your children I slaughtered? We're even, right? Not so much. But that's what that's what we're doing. And every time we bring that penny and say, well, here's a penny, another penny. Is that good? We're good now, right? I did a whole bunch more stuff, but, this penny, that covers it, right? God says, no! That's not good. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Then he tells you how to do that. He says, learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. The things that he had said to do, not to be self-centered, but to be centered on others. To care for others more than we care for ourselves. He says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, this end here, again, this is all poetry. And figurative language is used in Isaiah uses some beautiful language and he really puts it together well. He's literally saying it, that eat or be eaten here. Eat what I give you or you will be eaten by my judgment. Eat of the learning I provide for you or my judgment will consume you. If you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So how do we get our sins, which are like scarlet, to be white as snow? We don't. He does. This is one of those passages that we see in a lot of hymns and choruses, you know. Make my sins, you know, white as snow. And it's all based upon faith in God, not our works. As children, we should be looking to the Father to provide for us. Isaiah is laying out judgment, but he's also presenting hope. See, you have been rebellious, and this is what you face if you continue to go down this road. But it doesn't have to be that way. Let us reason together. How many times have you seen rebellious children and people who are in rebellion be totally unreasonable? That's rebellion. They're not being reasonable. They're not reasoning. They're not looking to say, you know, God's got all the strength. He's the one with the power. He's the one that can bring judgment or withhold judgment. He's the one who brings salvation and lays it out for all of us to receive. But we're the ones who are in rebellion and say, nope, you know what? I'm going to try to do it myself. I'm going to work my own way to heaven. Or better yet, you know, I'm going to make my own God. I'm going to, you know, I got my own idea of what I think God should be like, and yep, I'm going to make God that way. But you know what? Strength and power is there? None. It's only the God of creation that has power to make our sins as white as snow, to wash that which is crimson away. But in order to do that, we need to be willing and obedient. We can no longer resist and rebel. For if we do, we will be devoured by the sword. People, if we rebel, we will be devoured. But it's if. God wants our hearts to turn towards Him. If we say, you know, God, help me to follow You. Help me. God does help us to do that. That's why He has sent us the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our strength. You see, our sacrifices aren't enough, but a heart that is turned towards God is, when we give that heart to God. And we say, Lord, take my sins. Be my Lord. Then He makes us white as snow. So let's not be in rebellion. Let's instead turn to God and put our faith in Him and the work that He has done for our sake, and stop trying to work it out ourselves. But instead, be obedient to Him and do the work He does direct us to do, as He directs us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your love, for Your word. We thank You that You just don't lay out judgment, that You just don't bring that judgment upon us, Your rebellious children, but that You have given us the warning of the prophet. And You've given us the warning of the prophecies fulfilled so that we can see what exactly has happened. Lord, might we not be like Sodom and Gomorrah, but might we instead be obedient children. might we indeed learn to do what is right as you've commanded us through listening to and following your Holy Spirit and reading and following your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.